entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovers and friends, once again, you've tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station. As you know, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. What we choose to discuss here on the Vibration Station are concepts that will warp your understanding of your existence in time and space. What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey, here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. First and foremost, I would like to welcome to the show our very special guest, Dr. Michelle. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm great, Davey. Thanks so much for having me on the show. This is great.
Absolutely. I love having you on the show. And for listeners that are and are not familiar with Dr. Michelle, you got to make sure to check her out, talkshowtherapist.com. Once again, that's talk, just T-A-L-K, show, therapist, T-H-E-R-A-P-I-S-T.com. You can also listen to her here live on LA Talk Radio every Friday at 11. Very, very special shows that she has to offer. Super informative. Definitely has changed many, many thousands of people's lives, if not millions of people's lives. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. I feel honored to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, and I appreciate the good promo.
Absolutely. Well, you've earned it. Just kidding. Well, today's show, the reason why I bring the doc on the show, I ask Doc, I say, listen, is there any way that you could possibly come on today's show to share some of your knowledge with the listeners because of your studies, your background, because of what you know, but also, you know, you and I have had the opportunity of, over the years, sharing concepts and ideas and certain ideals. And I have to say, each and every single time that we've had the opportunity of conversing, you've always inspired me to a greater understanding. And that's what I like to do to my listeners. I like to inspire my listeners to a greater understanding within themselves as well, just as you have done for me. So this is why we love to bring you here on the Vibration Station.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks so much.
It's very true. You having your many years in psychological background, you know, going through countless years of schooling and having your own, you know, basically you are, you know, the media psychologist. It's you definitely have a really wonderful understanding for today's psychology and today's psychology in people. So that's why today we're going to be talking about the psychological aspect of not letting other people be your main source of influence and listening to that little guidance inside, right? That little inner voice inside. But here's where Dr. Michelle comes in for us, okay? How do we know what the little voice inside is telling us is really the higher self or the creator self, the all-knowing guidance self, okay? We have the little guidance self, okay? How do we know that that voice is guiding us in the direction of where we need to be versus taking advice from the people that we revere, that we spend our life with, or even look up to, Sometimes people that we look up to can give us advice that will point us in a direction where we necessarily don't want to be, right? For example, we might love our parents, or we might love, a mentor or a personal trainer or something, but they could unknowingly or knowingly, if they have, ill intentions, they could tell you to do something or guide you to do something that in the long run or even in the short term could have a negative effect on you, right? So
right.
Today's show is taking Dr. Michelle's knowledge and my understanding, combining them and kind of coming down, deciphering how we can really listen to our own instincts. And by the end of today's show, you won't need anybody else to tell you which way to turn because you'll know how to turn inside and get the answer that you're looking for. So that's what we have to offer today. First and foremost, Doc, you see a lot of clients every single week. You have a lot of patients. Patients, high-profile patients that do that have a lot of stress, deal with a lot of problems and like monumental issues, right? They are constantly taking advice from people around them to do this with their company or that with their company or this with their relationship or that with their relationship. And that's when they come to you. They sit on your couch and they say, Doc, what do I do? Right? How many times do you hear that? What do I do?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Dr. Michelle, in a situation that I'd say 90% of the population shares with dealing with the stresses, dealing with this, listening to the outside influence versus listening to your inner voice, what do you do? Where do you start? Let's hear it.
Well, good question. That's a loaded question, and I hope I can give your listeners a little bit of some of the information that I use to help my patients. So, how do we find our own intuition? Well, it's a process that we have to practice, like everything else.
Indeed.
So, let me just first say that many or the majority of the people who come to see me to get some help tell me that they're so scattered all the time. They
yes.
don't know what to do.
Yes.
They have relationship decisions, job decisions, future decisions, financial decisions, family, things like that are always going on, and they feel so scattered because they don't know where to go. They can't make up their mind, like
right.
you said.
Right.
And the most important influence, as you said, are others' opinions. We always ask other people, what do you think? I think women do that, I see in my practice, a lot more than men. So they ask their friends, they ask their siblings who they feel close to. If they feel close to one or
right.
both parents, they'll ask them.
Right.
You know, they'll ask their mates. You know, their partners, their husbands, wives, they'll always get opinion from other people, but it may not be their truth or what's the best for them.
Exactly.
Because it's coming from everybody else's
Exactly.
reality.
It's everyone else's perception of what they think that the individual should do, which isn't always necessarily the best thing, as we mentioned.
It's a natural survival instinct to ask everybody else what they think about something that we're having trouble with, right. because it gives us information. And if we look at it like that, then that's great.
That is.
Gives
that
us is. Information. Store away and say, so-and-so would do it this way, or, you know, my best friend would do it that way, whatever the problem may be. But I'm just going to store this as information, not as things that I should add to my, oh my gosh, where should I go list? What should I do list?
Absolutely.
How should I approach this list?
Absolutely.
We have to go within and find our own intuition and our own best way of solving our problems.
Yes.
Yes. You know, again, it's great to get other people's opinions, but the only thing that we can do to learn from our mistakes, to grow, is to figure out what's best for us and only us.
So that's where, you know, the interesting interception between listening to one's own guidance system versus reaching out and asking for help. That's where we cross roads, right? So
right.
You want to listen to your own instinct because we believe that there's this higher aspect of you that kind of knows and is sort of guiding you through your emotional guidance system of whether or not you should do that or whether that feels good. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. If it does feel good, do it. That's your guidance system, you know?
Right.
So here we are wanting to follow our guidance system, wanting to do what we believe is best for us, while simultaneously wanting what's the word? We want confirmation that from the people around us that what we're doing is the right thing. Because sometimes our own confirmation isn't as fulfilling as hearing an outside source telling you, oh, yes, you're right. Even if that outside source isn't super reliable. You know
what exactly.
This kind of falls under the concept, the guidelines of how people in a society are so vulnerable to just things and different ideas. And when, you know, certain epidemics come out and something's going on, people are just so quick to say, oh, okay, that's what's happening, and da-da-da, you know, because it's almost like we're programmed in a way to want to hear an outside reassurance that what we're choosing is correct, you know?
Yes.
But
exactly.
So that's interesting. So that's almost like it's almost like the paradox within the body. So if our natural instinct is to strive for others' approval of what we're doing versus us trusting our own personal guidance system, which is that little voice inside you that says, do this, this looks fun, this sounds fun, or don't do this, you get this little kind of butterflies telling you to turn the other direction, you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
So it's molding them, so it's finding the medium between how do I believe my own guidance system and how do I not let that desire for everyone else's approval overcome my own belief of my guidance system.
Yes.
That's a really interesting place to be.
No, you said it perfectly. And, you know, in a little bit, I can also give your listeners maybe some helpful ideas that I use to help patients really focus in
Absolutely.
On themselves and what they need for themselves.
Absolutely.
You can do that.
We can give a couple right now if you want, Doc.
Sure, if you'd like. Let me just say this. It's a so-called new psychology. Everyone's talking about called mindfulness, but it's always been around. They're just sort of fine-tuning it, and they put a label on it. And it really means getting in tune with yourself, getting in tune with being okay with who you are, and you know how to sort of cut out all the scatter and really take good care of yourself.
I like that.
And realize how you are reacting towards others and how you're taking in from others.
Yes.
Things. So, you know, the physical way is the best. And I give my patients some really good kind of self-hypnosis tapes. They can, they're just, you know, they're apps, you know, and I just have them, you know, they can put it on their iPhones or whatever, and then they can listen to them, download them, listen to them, and just take walks every day or take downtime within their busy work schedule.
Absolutely.
To just tune in to messages that may be really positive for them, just to slow their brains down a little bit, take
Absolutely.
Those breaks.
Absolutely.
And I say this to a lot of patients, but they go, yeah, I get it. Breathing, visualization, yeah. Then they're done that. And the thing is that that's the only way we control our thoughts. Sometimes it's through our bodies. When
exactly.
we slow down our bodies, we breathe.
Very
I know,
true.
We're all scattered. We've
Very
all got
true.
A deadline. We've got to text that friend so they don't take us personally, that we're not interested in them or guys or girls. Or, you know, we're so busy, but trying to please the boss, getting on that project. But we do have to take breaks. It's
Absolutely.
Essential for our brains. That's
Absolutely.
Why we're so overwhelmed all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When we're less scattered, we can get in touch with our intuition.
Absolutely.
So one way to help the body relax and restore its basic functioning is to steady our breath. And that's just getting away, pushing yourself away from your desk, getting yourself away from lifting whatever you're lifting at work or whatever type of job you have. And I don't care where you go. Take a walk around the building. Go into the women's room, men's room.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Exactly.
But you've got to start to inhale for 3 counts, slow, and hold it for 3, and then exhale for 3, and then hold that, and inhale. You've got to just do really long, slow breaths. In through the nose is what I do, and out through the mouth. And you've got to do this, not to get dizzy, but you will get oxygenated, but you will feel a little lightheaded sometimes at the end. So what that does is it slows down a lot of your autonomic systems. You know, your heart rate will slow down. It will be great.
That's amazing.
So that's what we do to get, you know, in control, first of all, with the somatic symptoms, the body symptoms.
That's amazing.
Then when we're breathing, we can learn to visualize, I know it sounds trite, our happy place. Everybody has a happy place.
But it's true.
I mean, everybody has, whatever it is. One of my patients had a beach in Hawaii. Another patient had a big, comfy leather chair where he loves to sit. That's his happy place. Okay, no judgment. You know, someone else loves the snow. They'd be at the top of a mountain overlooking the beautiful hills. You know, wherever your happy place is, in the mountains
exactly.
or whatever
exactly.
you visualize, close your eyes when you're breathing, of course, and go to the happy place and just be there.
Exactly.
And feel everything that you felt the last time you were there.
Totally.
So go into deep imagination of what did the air feel like? What did the, was it hot? Was it cold? You know, what were there trees around there? What sounds did I hear?
Right.
Were there birds? Were there, was it the ocean? Were there, was it snow? Was it people in the distance laughing? You know, you go into all the details of all of the senses.
Absolutely.
Now,
you activate those senses, right? It's like
yeah.
the brain, something I wanted to bring up real quick, Doc, in this exercise is scientific studies have shown that the same parts of the brain light up when under, you know, a CAT scan. The same same parts of the brain light up
mm-hmm.
when you visualize something.
Mm-hmm.
While simultaneously, the same parts of the brain that light up when you actually do something light up when you visualize doing that same thing.
Right.
So it's the brain does not know the difference. The brain, the same exact part of the brain is triggered when you visualize something and when you do something. There's not any difference in the triggering of chemicals and emotional responses in your brain versus you doing it and visualizing it. That's why the path to receiving it really is visualizing it and becoming it to the fullest of the extent that you can possibly allow yourself to become it. And it will have to start to reveal itself to you due to the laws of magnetics. That's you know, the other side of this, you know, the law of attraction side, you know, it's with stopping the clutter and with stopping the monkey mind, you know, the constant thinking, gotta do this, gotta go there, gotta go here, gotta go there, gotta call this. Like you were saying, Doc, you know, there's always a deadline to meet. There's always someone to call back or text or whatever.
Right.
If you actually realize how constant of a monkey mind you're in, how constantly unaware of the things that bring you joy, unaware of the things that bring you the greatest amount of happiness throughout each of your days, you will start to realize that most of your energy is not going in to focusing on feeling good and being happy. And what's the point of living this beautiful, delicious, amazing, abundant, expansive, creative human experience if you don't spend majority of the time focusing on how you can feel better or how you can make it better? That's just something that's always gotten to me. I've just always wondered, like, you know, I understand, you know, you have to make money, you have to create a life for yourself to provide, but it's not as hard as people make it out to be. And I don't mean to sound like, oh, everything's so easy, but what I'm trying to say is it's easier than people make it out to be because they're living it. And when you're living it, it's so hard to get out of it because you see it each and every single day. But if you were to just see how much abundance and how much availability and possibility and potential you have at this specific moment, you would not feel this level of limitation that you do. You would feel this expansion. You would feel this joy, this abundance, this clarity of consciousness, this all of a sudden, like, these doors are opening in your head of just like, oh my gosh, that's available and that's available and that's available and that's available. It's just a matter. It starts to snowball, like, down a hill. And so, yeah, so that's the other aspect of uncluttering your head, of keeping a clear head, you know?
Exactly. So we're talking about how others' input affects us and how we have a hard time making decisions about things and quieting our minds because of everybody else's opinion.
Okay. Absolutely.
We talked about that. And
if you've just tuned into the
about,
vibration,
like you said,
station.
How to tap into kind of finding our own intuition.
Yes.
And the thing is those negative looping thoughts, you know, that are always spiraling out of control, especially when we're scattered, you know, those are, that's sort of like you're describing the Buddhist concept of the monkey mind. I mean, there's always stimuli, you know, we're all going crazy. We can't hold a thought and, you know, we have to just sort of focus in. So how do we find our intuition? You know, we tap into how we're feeling and how we're thinking. Now, you're right, Dave. So many people, we all have to work. We all have to do a 9-to-5 or a 8-to-6 or a whatever, all-night shift. And we have to we have to work, many of us.
Or you could start doing that and then, you know, get some capital, make some money, and then invest into something that you love doing that will make you more money than that 8 to 6.
Well, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's a whole other can of worms, which is great because, I mean, that's clever planning.
Well, what I'm saying is getting, I'm saying getting out of that routine of not being happy, you know? It's like,
sure.
Like if the 9 to 5 brings you joy, then yes, do the 9 to 5. But if it doesn't bring you joy, then take some money and start something that will bring you some money. That's what I'm saying. If you enjoy, if you love it, if you love the 9 to 5 or the 8 to 5 or the 9 to 6, whatever it is, if you love it and you dig it and you're down on it and you are happy to get up and do it, then by all means, you are in the right place. Keep doing what you're doing. But what I'm saying is, if you're doing it just because in your perception, that's your only outlet to pay your bills right now, you don't want to be doing this and da-da-da, take some money, work for a couple months, start something over here, and start thinking a little more positive. You'll see what happens. Sorry to interrupt. Go on, Doc.
You're so funny. No, that's a great idea. You know what's coming, don't you? But, however, a lot of the people who I work with don't have a choice financially.
Right.
They say, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this job right now because I have to support my family, or I have to contribute to my family, or individuals who are all by themselves, you know, or in relationships. You know, I have to pay my rent, I have to pay for my mortgage, whatever it is. So a lot of people feel sort of trapped, you know, in their 9 to 5 or their whatever hours they're working, but it's really important to encourage them that there are possibly other alternatives to explore in jobs. Don't quit your job until you get another one,
of course.
But look at other possibilities that might make you happier.
Yeah.
You know, take your time and look at some of those possibilities. Or if you feel you're completely stuck, you've got to take some breaks, brain breaks, body breaks during those work hours. And you legally get to take breaks in jobs. You
Absolutely.
Can't, you know, every state and every job that we're in allows us for breaks. So we get to do things like taking walks, slowing down our breathing, visualizing cool things that we're going to be doing, whatever it is, going on a trip, being with your partner, having a great weekend, going to a party, whatever it is. Go there to the good place that makes you feel good.
You Absolutely.
Know? So those are the brain breaks we need to do. And so, you know, slowing down our minds. We're talking about slowing down our minds to get in touch. And that's the mindfulness thing, more with ourselves and what we want. And there's a technique called 5-5-5. And you kind of slow down and you name the things you're experiencing for each of the senses, of course. Whether it's in a crazy office situation or, you know, you get out, you can take a walk, or you're walking down a hall or whatever. You identify the 5 things you can see, 5 things you can feel, 5 things you can hear, 5 things you can smell.
Right.
And or, right. Of course, taste. You know, you try to, and you can do this through your mind with the taste if you don't have access to a snack or something. But this is simply, why do we do this? This is simply to defocus on our scattered minds and on our minds, oh, what should I do? We're tuning into our bodies. We're tuning into our survival mechanisms.
Right.
Which are, what do we see? I know that sounds like something you're teaching a preschooler, but preschoolers are pretty healthy. You know, they don't have a lot of stress.
Absolutely. And that's,
what do you see?
That's, you know, one of the mainstream ideas here is, you know, the mind of a child, right?
Right.
Have you, if you're familiar, I'm sure you're familiar, the mind of a child, when it is under a CAT scan,
Right.
Its brain is stimulated in many more ways than an adult's brain is stimulated. It's,
right.
There's parts of a child's brain, and this is ages averaging five and below. There's this these parts of the brain that light up that just don't light up in adults. It just doesn't.
Right.
It just ain't firing. It's like,
right.
It's like, think of this, all right? Here's your brain. It's this beautiful, unexplainably perfect machine that has the potential of, it has like this infinite number of machines, but it's up to you to how you know how to turn those machines on and access those machines, right? So here's your brain, and on a daily basis, we only turn on, like we've talked about, you know, what, 7 to 10%, depending on the individual, depending on what we're doing in that moment. We're stimulating, on average, about 7 to 10%, right, of our brains. So if there's a whole other 90% of machinery that's just not being fired off, right? So let's think about this. We have, according to our current understanding, five senses: sight, smell, taste, touch, sound. Okay? This, I believe we have multiple more multiple senses, right? More senses that we get into, and this is activating those other parts of the brain. This is activating those other 90% of machinery that I'm talking about. So in those kids' brains, they have maybe that extra 10% being 20. So, you know, an extra 10 on top of what we're doing is 20%. Let's say they have a 20% function. Let's say they're firing off an extra 10% in their brain, all right, that us human or us adults have no flipping idea what's going on in their heads. All we know is it's under CAT scan and shit's firing off and they can't speak a damn word. So to us, to us, they're really dumb. To us, they're like, wow, we have a lot to teach them. Like, they can't even communicate with us. All they do is goo goo gaga. That's it. But little do we know, once we, you know, once we throw that brain under a magnifying glass, if you will, a magnifying glass of what's firing off and what's not, you see that there is this universe of knowledge that is being channeled through these younger minds versus the information and the parts of the brain that's being channeled or that's being fired off in the adult's mind. So my conclusion to this, Doc, is in response to your comment of, you know, yes, preschoolers and kindergartners don't have a lot of stress. Well, you know what? Maybe that's why their brains are firing off the way that they are firing off. Maybe if we as adults developed as we did but maintained those other higher functioning aspects of our brain, we would be able to understand and conceptualize these ideas on a more fluid basis. These ideas that we don't need to rely on other people's opinions to satisfy our own scattered brain. We don't need necessarily an overpowering constitution or overpowering whatever thing to tell us what's right and wrong, because we have this natural understanding that is organic within us. I don't know. I this is just philosophy, just hypothesis, just kind of shooting off in the brain. What if these neurons that are being fired off in these children's brains are the parts of the brains that define, you know, I mean, things that we as adults could not even fathom. You know what I'm saying? Like it's almost like they're aliens. Like they are highly advanced aliens coming out of the womb, and as they absorb are what we've dumbed our world down to be, they become this kind of cut off human until they choose to reconnect, which we're here doing on the vibration station. So I don't know.
That's my rant. You know, I think what you're saying is that as many people believe that, you know, children, you know, they're closer to the source because they haven't been here on this material plane very long. So, you know, they're a little more, you know, innocent and enlightened beings. But here's the thing about, you know, the psychological mind. Here I go.
Here we go.
Here I go, Dave. I'm sorry. But, you know,
that's why I brought you on, Doc.
Okay. Yeah. Our thing's all about survival mechanisms. So, you know, as babies and children, we do take our cues from everyone in our environment, you know, for our survival. What's threatening? What's scary? What,
absolutely,
you know, what's fun? What makes us giggle? What's pleasing? Whatever. So, you know, the parental or the household environment has so much to do with the way we think when we become a little bit more independent. So
exactly.
we're so... You know, if we have a home of abuse and a lot of anger, a lot of chaos, a lot of isolation, abandonment, things like that, we're going to find ways in our minds by the time we're children who can speak and form thoughts.
Yes, yes.
To survive. And if things don't change or we don't get enlightenment, we're going to be surviving for many, many years in maladjusted ways until we can actually get some kind of insight and help.
That's really interesting. That's really fascinating.
You know, in studies, there's a lot of kids who, you know, grow up in a criminal or a gang environment, and that's all they know.
Right.
And so when they get out of that, or when they get exposed to a teacher, a mentor, someone who really believes that they have the ability, you know, spiritually within themselves, you know, that they're good people, they have abilities, they're creative, they have an identity, and believes in them and mentors them, then they can start, you know, finding out who they are with encouragement and get out of that gang mentality, get out of that, you know, I am, you know, part of this gang which empowers me and gives me an identity.
Absolutely.
It's with the mind growing independently, having good influences, you know, around us when we're young, and people who believe in us. And again, we're talking again about, do we listen to what others have to say too much?
Right.
When we get older? Or, you know, I think by the time, you know, we're sort of moving into adolescence, you know, which is chemically a whole other discussion. But when we're learning how to be really independent, we move on to adulthood, 18 plus. You know, we have to learn how to really find how to be strong within our identities and
exactly.
be okay with that.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
Like we discussed at the beginning, learn how to put other people's opinion in a box or in a category and observe them, but try to get in touch with our own what's right for us.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And that's, you know, that's a perfect balance, too. That's like a, there's like a medium in there, you know, that you need to honor. There's a... you know, it's hard sometimes when... not sometimes, it is very hard growing up in a self-destructive lifestyle. And like you said a moment ago, you know, it's all that these kids know. When they talk about, you know, when these kids, they're 8 and 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and then all of a sudden they're getting into gang violence and they think that it's cool to rob, steal, and shoot and whatever, it's because that's the surroundings which they've been influenced by, right? So...
Right.
The interesting part, though, is there is this unconditional, I believe, there is this unconditional, loving, grateful, creative, abundant, ever-expanding wholeness in each and every single one of us. And because, you know, these kids and a lot of people, not just in, you know, kind of the inner cities and the ghettos and stuff, but also around the world, you know, and think of the Afghanistans. I was just watching a show this morning.
Yeah.
It's Vice, you know, it's where, you know, in Afghanistan, these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids are being persuaded to be, you know, Taliban terrorists, you know, by they're being told by these elders that, you know, at 12 years old, if they walk into a library or whatever with a bomb on their back, they're going to go to, you know, heaven, and everything they want's going to be there. It's like, it's just like, it's insane the amount of persuasion that is influenced by surroundings, right? So but then we come back to understanding, no matter where you are, no matter when you are, no matter who you are, there is this God force in you. It's just a matter of tapping into that love. It's a matter of releasing the resistance and tapping into that wholeness of who you are, you know?
And tapping in through, you know, just slowing down, taking your time, breathing, slowing your autonomic systems of your heart rate, and slowing your thoughts down by focusing on really nice things or looking the things you look forward to, and allowing your mind to flow. You don't have to be, like I've said so many times before, you know, a Zen master. We can all just slow down and go to a real nice place in our mind, something that's nice, and just observe our thoughts.
Yes,
observe them.
Exactly.
Oh, that was interesting, huh?
Exactly.
Go back to the happy place. Oh, that was interesting. I just thought about what I have to do in terms of finishing my online work today. Okay, that was great. Let it flow through. Go back to the happy place. So just allow ourselves, be gentle on ourselves. Allow ourselves to just take our time to just still our minds as best we can. And, you know, writing down things is really powerful, too, if you're upset or you have those constant, as we call them, ruminations about things, or we're scattered. You know, writing down how you're feeling, why you're feeling it, then what we can say is, how could I look at it differently? You write it down on a different point of view. How could I look at this problem differently? Well, I could if I were my friend looking at this problem and giving me advice. What would they say? So you get out of your own mind and you write down, how you're feeling, what you're feeling and thinking, and how could I look at this different? How could I, what would my friend tell me? Or how could I objectively solve this or think about this or feel about this in a different way? Could I choose not to be hurt by what my partner said? Why am I so hurt by what they said to me? Am I taking those words wrong?
Wow.
And, you know, things like that. I mean, I'm just making up things as we go along here.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, absolutely. And it's,
how can I tackle this particular problem at work? I have so much pressure from my manager, and I don't know, I don't think I'm smart enough. Okay, wait a minute. I feel low self-esteem. I'm not smart enough. My boss is a bully, and I'm overwhelmed.
Right.
Okay, those are valid feelings. What could you do to look at this differently? Well, how could I look at this differently? Well, I was hired for the job,
right,
so I must have some skills. My boss is a bully. Everyone else thinks so, so it's not just me. It's just the boss is trying to prove something to themselves. Okay, so you write down things that are counters. You write down things, how can I look at this and take control over, you know, what's going on here? I can only do what I can do at my job. I can't fulfill these overwhelming demands. Actually, no one could.
Yes.
I allow myself breaks during the day to get out, breathe, eat something, think about happy thoughts, plug in some of that music, you know, and bring your earbuds so you can listen to your music.
Absolutely.
Because we're all better aligned with our intuition and higher self when we're feeling good. And if we got music, you know, that gets us feeling good, then we can tap into, you know, our intuition a lot easier. What what should I do for me?
So true. It's so true. It's so true, Doc. I just wanted to put a quick plug in the show that I am going to do now for every single show from here on out. I just want to remind people, if you want to go to www.gofundme.com, that's gofundme.com/wheelchair for Joe. We have our brother Joe. He called in a couple shows ago. He's been paying almost close to $50,000 in health insurance, and they still haven't given him a new wheelchair for what he's battling. And GoFundMe.com/wheelchair for Joe. We can go on there and donate money to get him the wheelchair that he needs to be in good standings, exactly where he needs to be. So I just wanted to put on real quick, Joe's local news station did a segment on him. You can check that out. I will repost this on my Twitter. Make sure to just go on, just check out Wheelchair for Joe. So it's really cool.
Yeah, it's good.
We love you, Joe. Here, I'm going to repost the link too. We love you, Joe. You're just awesome, man. So what we're going to do here is keep every week trying to get funding for Joe to get him that wheelchair.
That's lovely. That's wonderful of you to reach out. I just Googled his name and found the GoFundMe.com. And, yeah, Joe, you go, man. Good for you. Keep up the good work. And he said he's embarrassed and sick to his stomach for having to reach out to people to help him. But, I mean, you know, it is really difficult for people who have disabilities.
And that's not anything to be embarrassed about. I mean, this is, you know, in the society that we live in, you know, with everything that you're dealing with, Joe, and everything that's been presented, you know, there's, if anything, it's our honor to be able to help you and do anything and everything that we can to get, you know, some funding in your direction. That's really, you know, it's just about feeling better and feeling more free and having the equipment you know, people at your disposal that you need to allow you to lead the super happy and joyous and expansive and healthy life that is yours to live, my brother. And that goes for everyone, man. Joe is an example for all of us. Joe is an inspiration to us all, really.
Yes, and Joe, you know, openly on his website describes himself as a C5, C6, which is the cervical section of the neck, quadriplegic. And, you know, that's paralysis of four limbs, basically. So, you know, Joe is paralyzed. You know, he really has a rough time getting about, and, you know, it's very difficult for him. So obviously wheelchairs are so important to individuals who have this particular, you know, problem that they're dealing with. So
exactly.
You might check it out. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. That's really loving of you.
I appreciate
that.
That is what this show is about.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'm just messing around. But really, it's really powerful stuff. I just want to get back. I just want to drop that in there real quick, just to remind everybody, you know, how important it is to, you know, do stuff for other people, you know, to, you know, put yourself out there and, do as much as you can to help as many people as possible, because in this vibrational universe, it only and always comes back to you.
Right.
You know. So whether you have a clouded consciousness that you are trying to uncloud, or just there's something in your life that you're just trying to get back into alignment with, you know, through, as Dr. Michelle said, focus, breathing, belief in yourself, we can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I appreciate you so much, Dr. Michelle, for everything that you do for us.
My pleasure, Dave. I love what I do. So see, I'm really blessed because I get to do what I love doing. So.
Well, that's really cool. That is really, really cool.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate being able to help you and your listeners.
Well, absolutely, Doc, and thank you so much for being able to come on the show. It is, like I said, such a blessing. And make sure to check out Dr. Michelle every single Friday at 11 on the couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11, latalkradio.com, channel 1, that's 11 a.m., by the way. Oh my goodness, sending each and every single one of our listeners all our unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Dr. Michelle, it is always a blessing and a pleasure. Thank you so much for spreading your infinite wisdom, knowledge. Thank you, listeners. I'm your host, Davey. Make sure to go on Twitter and follow Good Vibe Station. I love each and every single one of you guys. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye-bye.